Monsanto submitted a regulatory package to both the FDA and the EPA for Roundup Ready soybeans, the first really big commercial crop. It's really very curious, you know, how shallow actually the science was. They didn't look at routine stresses, drought, plant pathogens, other things that, you know, soybean plants deal with in the environment. In the year 2000, a team of scientists based at the University of Arkansas documented decreases in the size of the root system, and under droughty conditions, these reductions were 25%. Now, that 25% impairment is going to translate into several bushels of lost yield in any part of the world. It's a very big impact. The other gap in the regulatory reviews was that no one bothered to explore the impact of the spraying of Roundup over the top of soybean plants on the capacity of the soybean plant to affix nitrogen, and it's one of the most important environmental benefits of soybeans. It's a legume, like peas, so you don't have to put nitrogen fertilizer in your garden when you're growing peas or soybeans. And we're only now starting to study this because farmers have observed problems in some fields with Roundup Ready soybeans. I mean, they just did terrible and couldn't explain why.
One of the biggest threats to yield comes from superweeds, weeds that have become resistant to herbicides like Roundup. In 2003, Maristail, a superweed, spread into 21 states. Now farmers have to use dangerous chemicals such as 2,4-D, which is similar to Agent Orange and has been proven to cause birth defects. Instead of spraying less, they are spraying more. But how did this controversial new technology get approved by the government in the first place?
At the end of the first Bush administration, George Bush's administration, Dan Quayle ran something called the Competitiveness Council.
We will ensure that biotech products will receive the same oversight as other products instead of being hampered by unnecessary regulation.
What Quayle's council recommended is that there be no regulation at all for these foods. This outraged FDA scientists. There is voluminous documentation showing that FDA scientists said this food needs to be tested. This food can be toxic. This food can create new allergens. The genetic engineering process, the cell invasion technique that is genetic engineering, can lower nutrition. It can have create immune problems in laboratory animals. All these things need to be tested, much less the environmental effects. But Dan Quayle and his council said, no way. We want to be the first in the world to market this food. FDA still said no. So what do? They brought in a deputy commissioner for food policy, a man named Michael Taylor. Michael Taylor used to work at King & Spalding as Monsanto's senior counsel there. He had written up the industry regulations, which were basically no regulations, and of course, he allowed this no regulation policy to become official U.S. policy in 1992.
Monsanto employees and government regulatory agency employees are the same people. And to give you one example, there's countless names on this list, but one that kind of stands out to me, the biggest, is Linda Fisher. Now, Linda Fisher, for the past 7 years, has been an executive vice president for Monsanto Corporation. She is now the deputy minister for the EPA, also as a deputy minister under George Bush Sr.'s administration. Prior to that, she was with Monsanto. And prior to that, she was with the EPA. She's been back and forth 3 times. And the list goes on and on like that in Washington. I have written a letter to our Attorney General, John Ashcroft, and I beg him for help with this monumental crisis that farmers are facing and we're facing. His response was that it is not their policy to get involved in private litigation matters. I have since learned that Mr. John Ashcroft has submitted a brief to the U.S. Supreme Court regarding a similar patent infringement case to be heard in October. He prayed upon the Supreme Court to uphold these new plant patents to protect the corporations that own the patents. Upon learning this, I also learned that Mr. Ashcroft had received the largest campaign contribution that Monsanto gave any 2000 political candidate in his failed bid for Senate re-election.
Deregulate, which is basically telling from the executive branch everybody to look the other way.
Companies now do testing themselves and report their findings to the government. The process is voluntary.
If we started really asking the right questions, we would stop this technology for the next 50 or 100 years.
But just the opposite has happened. In the U.S. alone, genetically modified canola, corn, cotton, and soybeans, which were non-existent in the 1980s, were grown on 3.7 million acres in 1996. That jumped to 100 million acres in 2003. In 1998, Mexico banned the planting of genetically engineered corn to protect their agricultural heritage.
In Mexico, there are literally hundreds of varieties of corn. Some of them are adapted to very wet climates, some to very dry climates. Some of them are resistant to certain specific pests. Some of them have different tastes. Some of them are good for doing popcorn that was invented by the Aztecs. Some varieties are good to make tortillas or to feed the cattle. There's a whole bunch of kinds of corn in Mexico.
Around 7,000 years ago, the people who lived in Mexico started domesticating maize, or corn, and an intimate relationship developed between humans and the plant. Corn is not only their food supply, it is also part of the culture.
In the mountains in Jalisco, the farmers plant on purpose their cornfields near areas where the wild corn grows, the teosintle. And the reason why they do that is because they know perfectly well that they get resistance to pests transferred from the wild strain into the cultivated strain.
We don't know which parts of that diversity are going to be useful, and we need to preserve them all. Now, most of the diversity for crops is contained within so-called land races. These are the plants that small farmers, generally in very diverse areas of the world, maintain in very small plots with selection for the very specific conditions of the plots, which might be certain altitude, frost or drought, or very specific conditions. That is really the basis of diversity that we are continuously tapping from to maintain our commercial production of crops, to feed the world, basically.